George, welcome to the show.
Hi,
How are you?
thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm going to say this. I love your work, man. I
Thank
am
you.
just a huge, huge fan, and I always have been. I've
Well,
been
what can I say? You must be a weird guy.
I am so weird. It's unbelievable, George. So how are you?
I'm doing very, very well.
Great,
And it's
great.
not going to be a trilogy anymore. I'm doing a number four.
Well, let's talk about that
What do
right
you
off the
call it? What do you call it? A quartet?
A quadrilogy?
I don't know. Something like
Well, no, now you're moving into Stallone territory, George.
Uh-oh.
He goes past three all the time, doesn't
I don't know.
he?
Does he? Did he do? Did he?
No, he only did three Rambos.
How about Rocky?
He did about, I think he did 75 of those, George.
75 Rockies.
Yeah,
Okay. Well,
yeah.
see, I got a long way to go.
Well, keep making them. I love them. So tell us a little bit about the new one that you're working on.
Well, it's the other ones, they were all sort of 10 years apart. I don't like the idea of making these movies, hey, this was a hit, let's make one tomorrow, because
Right.
I don't have an idea tomorrow. And so I sort of wait for the times to catch up, and my conceit is to try to have the films reflect, the decade that they were made in. And this one is sort of post 9/11 paranoia. It's about people trying to ignore the problem and living behind barricades and with, this sort of terrorist viewing the zombies as terrorists, I guess. I don't know. Living with the terrorist threat, it's like living in an earthquake zone and denying it.
Yeah.
It's about people in denial. And the protagonists, I mean, it really is about a city, a barricaded city where the fat cats get the high rise and, the service personnel get the funky places down in the streets. And the protagonists are the people that have to go out into the real world where the zombies are and, bring back food, but not just food and water, but cologne and champagne and
Of course. Yeah, you got to live right.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Well, what are you calling this one?
Right now it's called Land of the Dead, but
Okay.
those decisions aren't made until right before release. They test titles.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, you've sort of run out of day parts.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Unless you call it Afternoon of the Dead.
Afternoon, Twilight,
Yeah.
everybody was
Everybody
talking
wanted
about
to, yeah,
Twilight.
everybody was talking about Twilight, weren't they? That was what the title was that was bouncing around on the
Yeah.
net and stuff, yeah. Well, what's tell me okay, so that's fabulous. You going to be shooting at Pittsburgh?
Well, we're hoping. We're really hoping. I'd love to, because the other ones were all shot there, and it's basically a homemade recipe,
Yeah.
And I'd love to do it there. But, Canada, and they're talking, the producers are talking about Canada. They're talking about Cape Town, South Africa,
Really?
It's like, where can you do it for the least money?
Yeah.
But I have to say, the city of Pittsburgh's really sort of rising to the occasion and trying to, offer incentives, and,
Yeah.
they'd really like to keep it there. I'd love to do it there. I wrote it for Pittsburgh. It's basically set in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, for people who know it, is on a little triangular peninsula of land. It's got two sides that are protected by rivers, and across the base of the triangle, it's less than a mile across, and that's where the barricades are. So I wrote it for that.
Yeah.
And
Do you still live in Pittsburgh, George?
I do. Yeah,
Yeah.
I have. So I went there. I grew up in the Bronx. I'm a Bronx kid, and I went to Pittsburgh to go to college, and I saw a little piece of sky. Where I grew up in the Bronx, you saw, between the buildings, you saw like a yard of sky.
Yeah.
And I went to Pittsburgh and fell in love with the place. I've been there ever since college.
Yeah, and did you go to Carnegie Mellon?
Yeah, I
Yeah,
did.
yeah. I have a friend of mine, by the
Was
way.
Carnegie Tech
It
then?
was Carnegie Tech.
Yeah, I'm an old guy.
I have a friend of mine, my friend Allison, who is in this theater company that I'm a part of. She went to Carnegie Mellon, and she says that you guys are responsible for a little bit of a cockroach infestation that they had there.
Yes, I think we might be.
Yeah. Tell everybody a little bit. She said that there were like really large cockroaches that were a little left over from you guys storing some of your buddies there from Creepshow, right?
Yeah, well, we were obliged, in fact, by, you know, whatever government authority is in charge of that stuff. I don't know what insect, you know, I don't know what the branch of government is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Insect control.
Yeah, I think that's the part of the alcohol, firearms, and tobacco.
It's probably in there somewhere.
And cockroaches.
Yeah, right. Yeah. ATFC.
Right.
We were supposed to kill, you know, here's the thing. Stephen King wrote, it was a movie called Creepshow. Stephen King wrote it, and he wrote this story about a guy that's terrified of, you know, hates cockroaches. And of course, in all of Steve's stories, if you hate cockroaches, you're going to, you know, die by cockroach.
And God, how good was E.G. Marshall in that?
Oh, he was wonderful.
He was fabulous.
I mean, he was just really sensational.
Yeah.
But we found out. You know, I said, having grown up in the Bronx, you know, I said, hey, man, I can get you all the cockroaches. What? Call up some of my old friends.
You could just dig in their cupboard and send some out, yeah.
Get them out of the cereal boxes. but we found out that when you buy them from a lab, you can actually buy cockroaches. People out there, you can actually buy cockroaches. They're our catalog.
Oh, God. There's a cockroach catalog?
Yes. Well, no, they're these scientific, you know,
right.
Like for biology classes or whatever. You can actually buy catalogs that enable you to buy cockroaches. However,
yeah.
They cost 50 cents a piece. Now, we needed 50 cents, you know, it sounds like a pretty good price.
But when you need
500,000 of them.
And also in 1981...
Yeah.
I bet they've gone up, haven't they?
I'm sure they probably have.
I mean, that was 20 years ago. 50 cents a cockroach? My God.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the catalog lately.
But you haven't?
At that time, you know, it's like when you need 500,000 cockroaches, that's a big budget item. So with the entomologists, the guys, there were these two guys from the Museum of New York's one of the New York museums of natural history. No, it can't be history, whatever. Anyway, one of those museums.
Uh-huh.
Entomologists that said, you know, we'll go collect some, and they went to Trinidad and they brought back cockroaches, barrels full of them. I mean, literally, they were Rubbermaid, you know, these Rubbermaid trash cans that you put outside your house. They were all full of cockroaches.
Oh, God.
The cockroaches had their own trailer because it has to be climate controlled. Otherwise, they would, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a strong union, I guess. For
yeah, they're going to be here long after we go, George.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, they got a great union.
Yeah. So anyway, we were obliged, though, we were able to get them into the country from Trinidad, but then we were obliged to exterminate them when we were all finished. And so we shot this. There's a final shot in the film where E.G.'s locked in his little hermetically sealed bedroom, and there are cockroaches, you know, 6 feet deep. And that was the last shot we did, and we thought we had them all contained in there, and then we were obliged to exterminate them. But I know that they got away. I know that many of them got away, and some of these were not just your plain old New York cockroaches. Some of these were called Blabberus gigantare, which the name itself tells you something. Those were the like 6-inch guys.
Oh man. Allison told me that there were some big ones out there, like a few that were left, which is pretty funny.
Well, they got away. I mean, they literally, you'd pick up your telephone and there'd be a cockroach on the mouthpiece.
Oh man!
I mean, it was just they got everywhere. It's incredible.
I have very few. I mean, I'm a huge horror film fan. I've seen it all, and I'm as jaded as the next guy. But I have a couple of phobias.
Uh-huh.
One of them is, and there have been maybe about two or three movies that have caused me to hyperventilate and almost pass out. and Creepshow is one of them.
Okay.
One of the other ones was, I just almost passed out during Kill Bill 2 and Wes Craven's Serpent in the Rainbow.
Right.
Because I have this phobia of being trapped in a coffin.
Claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia, yeah. Especially on my back. So those two movies, when I first saw The Serpent and the Rainbow, I almost had to get up and leave the theater because it was so bad. But I have this cockroach phobia.
So wait, have you left instructions that when you're buried, you should be lying on your stomach?
I want to be lying on my stomach and, and no bugs anywhere near the bug. They can't eat me. You know what I mean? I don't want roaches anywhere. I don't care how dead I am. You gotta check my body every 8 months to see if there are roaches. But yeah, so I'm watching Creepshow, and it's so terrifying, and it was freaking me out so much. But it's so brilliant that I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was mostly Steve. I mean, the script was Steve's, and I had maybe the most fun making that movie of any of the films that I've ever done.
And you had to work now. You're working at a place where now you're like you had a pretty big budget. You had 50-cent cockroaches, or no, you had people go out and find
them.
They had their own trailer, and this is coming off of. Was that your first big studio film?
It wasn't, it was released by a studio.
Yeah.
It was actually financed and produced by an independent company. It was a company called United Film. They didn't produce, but they distributed Dawn of the Dead. And then they financed and enabled us to shoot three other films, Knight Riders
and Day?
Day of the Dead and Creepshow.
Hmm.
And then Warner Brothers picked up Creepshow to distribute it.
I see. Well, so was your first because a lot of people, I consider you to be one of the godfathers of independent filmmaking. I mean,
well, we discussed your weirdness.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. I know I am a strange guy, but you worked independently, and you're working independently now, but you had a couple of experiences with the studio that I guess were not that great.
Not wonderful.
Yeah. For instance, Monkey Shines.
Yeah.
Which is a film that I absolutely adore.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Oh, I do.
I like it a lot, too.
Was on my top 10 list in 88 when it came out, and I really, really loved it. But you had to make some concessions with that film, though, working with Orion?
Yeah. Well, we had to change the ending.
Yeah,
it was one of those situations where, what happens is they preview these movies with test audiences. And they look at the reactions, and I mean, there's a funny story behind. If anyone that knows Monkey Shine, it's about a paraplegic who has an accident and is stuck in a wheelchair, and in the end, magically recovers. And that's really what people were complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
But the studio, they read, when people complained about the ending, they didn't want the guy to recover. They thought that was a sellout. And I did, too. But that was one of the, we had to do that. That was in the script, and we had to do that to get the movie made.
Right.
And really, that's what they were complaining about. But then I had this other sort of dark ending where... the villainous character in the movie gets control of the serum. This is going to make a lot of sense to people that haven't seen the film, but there's a serum that makes these monkeys smart and makes them dangerous.
Yeah.
And I had a little scene where the dean of the college where the research is being done gets control of the serum and has the monkeys. And that's what the studio didn't like. They said, we don't like this. And they made me shoot another. And then they wanted what they called a carry ending, a last jump that makes the audience jump right after you think the movie is over.
Right. So you had the monkey jump out of the guy's back.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I
cheap shot. A cheap shot.
Yeah, but I think it's a really, really brilliant movie. And boy, I got to tell you, the acting in that movie is really stellar. I mean, everybody in that film is just remarkably good in it.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And thank you for the cast. That's great.
Yeah, it's great. So working with Orion wasn't all that great. You had some problems there. And then...
And then I did another film with them called Dark Half, another Stephen King.
Right.
Which I really loved that movie. But that by that time, Orion was basically...
Yeah, they were under. They were
down
gone,
the
yeah.
tubes, yeah.
yeah.
So, they just... It wasn't distributed well.
Right. I've another movie that I think is really great. Timothy Hutton, fabulous in that movie.
I thought he did a sensational job.
Yeah, really interesting film. I, you know, and then I, you know, we got a whole. By the way, George, we got a bunch of people who are calling in who want to talk to you.
Okay.
And they want to ask questions, and they're all big horror film fanatics. So George Romero is my guest. I know I'm monopolizing the conversation, but you're one of my heroes. So.
Oh well, thank you.
I saw Day of the Dead at the drive-in. When it came
out. Yeah, well, listen, that's where I always used to go to movies. You know, Pittsburgh, I live in Pittsburgh, and it was second only to L.A. in the number of drive-ins that they had when I first went there.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was huge drive-in.
Wow.
And, you know, there's still one operating, and they're building a new one. They're building a new three-screen drive-in there. Maybe drive-ins are going to come back.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
You know, I know, and one of the problems is that, you know, I mean, obviously the real estate is so valuable now,
right.
And it's just too bad. When Dawn of the Dead came out, I was 14, maybe?
Well,
I was 14. I saw it in 79. It came out, here in Chicago, it came out like in May of 79.
Right.
And so I was 14. I was not old enough to get in because it was unrated.
But somehow you got in.
Well, here's the story. I'll tell you. Well, first of all, this is coming out. My dad took me to movies when I was really young, way too young.
Okay.
Like, for instance, my father, and I told this story a couple of weeks ago, my father greased the palm of a manager at a theater to get me in to see Mark of the Devil so I could get the barf bag.
The barf bag?
Yeah, they gave a barf bag. There was this film called Mark of the Devil that came out. It was about the Spanish Inquisition. People got their tongues ripped out. Reggie Nadler was in it, and it was just, you know. And so I wanted to see it because you got a barf bag.
did it say on the barf?
It said Mark of the Devil, and it had the logo for the movie on it. And I was just a little freak, you know. I was like 8 years old or something. I wanted to see it, and it was like this movie. It was like incredibly violent, but my dad like greased this guy's palm, gave him money so I could get in to see the movie. So my dad's like, I'll take you to see anything. I don't care. You know, I saw The Exorcist. I was like 10. You know, it didn't matter. So I so wanted to see Dawn of the Dead, but obviously I couldn't get in. Even with my father, I couldn't get in.
Wow.
So we went to a three-screen drive-in in Wheeling, Illinois, right outside of Chicago here, called the Twin Drive-In. And my dad paid for another movie, backed the car up all the way into the up to the back fence.
Wow.
And my friends and I turned around and watched Dawn of the Dead through the back window, and my dad got the sound on the radio speaker.
On the radio,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's my Dawn of the Dead story, and it was a double feature with Phantasm. It was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Oh, man. No wonder you're warped.
Exactly. It's all your fault. George?
Yeah.
There's a couple guys here that want to talk to you, the American Movie Boys. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Nick, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Just made it home. Mike and I just had to go to the can behind the garage.
George, you know these guys, right?
I'm sorry, I don't.
It's Mark Borchard from...
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
I thought this was another team. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
George, how you doing? Here's Don.
Hi, George.
Hey, how are you? Oh, man. When you know, I thought when he said the American Movie Boys, I thought that was a whole lot. I didn't think of American Movie.
No, it's those
guys.
I
thought it was some group, you know.
Yeah, no, these guys listen to the show on a pretty listen to my show on a regular basis. They're just up in Wisconsin, and you came to Chicago a few weeks ago and weren't and you got to hang out with these guys.
Yeah, we have, man. We had a nice lunch. We hung out a little bit. Hey, Mark, man. All right.
Mother.
Mark, you hold on. What, you're breaking up a little bit.
Right here. Oh, yeah. George even talked to my mother. My mother really enjoyed talking to him. I told him that he's the dude who made Dawn of the Dead.
I was just standing outside. He said, hey, I got a phone call. My mom's on the phone. Say hello.
So, hey, Mark, you guys, are you going to try and make this thing next week?
That's what we're debating, man, because we're, how old you got to be to go to the drive-in?
You could be, I think you could be any age, I'm sure, man.
Hey, very, very cool. Yeah, we're going to try to make that, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, I look forward I hope to see you there, you know. Hey, don't worry about it, though. We'll catch up over here sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Just come on out, Mark. I'm sure it'll be cool. Bring everybody out there, and we'll all say hi, and George will be out there. We'll have a good time, man.
Very, very cool, man.
Hey.
I guess Mark had a question for George.
Real quick.
Hey, do you know why they did the remake in Wisconsin of Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, good question. Because you live there.
I don't know, man. I thought they did it in Canada.
Well, no, it took place in Wisconsin.
Oh, it took place in
Wisconsin. Yeah, it did. Hey, okay, you know what? Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in, you guys.
Bless you guys.
Have a great... We'll see you next week. Come up, okay? Make sure you come down. See you later. That's Mark. We were having a little trouble with the connection there, George. Hey, George?
Yeah.
I have a friend who also grew up in Pittsburgh who whose acting teacher was Martin.
Is that right? John Amplis.
John Amplis, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he went to school and Amplis taught him acting, and he thought he was a great, he said he was just a great teacher and a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about Martin?
I'd love to.
Which is personally my favorite movie of yours.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because it's my favorite of mine.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is.
It just blows me away. I think it's just a really extraordinarily smart and beautiful movie. Just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Tell me how did that one begin in your head?
Well, initially I wanted to do a sort of a comedy about a vampire, you know, the problems that a vampire would have if he lived, you know, for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to get a new driver's license every once in a while, change your ID, you know. I wanted to do a comedy spin on it. And then I started to work on it, I got really involved with the idea, well, what if somebody thought he was a vampire but really wasn't? Mm-hmm. You know, just sort of a confused, and I made him a young guy, and a sort of confused kid whose family believes and says that there's a curse on the family, and, you know, somebody that, and so the film turned out not at all a comedy, but much darker.
Yeah.
About, you know, a twisted guy who is, you know, he's being very honest about it. I mean, he calls these radio talk shows and he says, there's, you know, he's constantly saying there is no magic. There's, you know, it's just, things are just the way they are. And so that's where it came from. You know, I gradually worked it out in my head and then sat down and wrote it.
You did like really brilliant stuff with the sort of cliches that are found in the world of vampire films,
mm-hmm.
With the black and white stuff. And,
right.
And just really, and with a lot to think of. I mean, a lot to think about. That movie was really, and making the character a young guy who is confused, you know, young men are confused enough.
Yeah.
You know, and to add that.
Old men are confused enough.
yeah. But I found that film to be like, there's one of my favorite sequences in any of your movies is the scene where, they're trying to call for help, and he's downstairs on the other line,
right?
Pressing the button. I mean, just a really incredibly intense scene, and I think it's a great film.
That's the scene that I really like the most, and the reason that Martin's my favorite film is because, you know, I think the entire cast and crew numbered, you know, 14 or something like that, and everybody put in 120%, and I was able to. It's the closest film that I've ever made. It comes closest to what I originally wrote on the script pages,
mm-hmm.
And you know, that's partly why I love it. And John was wonderful, and I just think it's. I don't know. I think it's one of my best ideas, and mm-hmm. you know. So anyway.
Yeah, I think it's great too. It's
well, I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. It's one of my favorites. It absolutely is. Okay, we got a bunch of people who've been hanging on. They have some questions too. Let's talk to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Oh, hey.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm great.
Good. You're on. This is George Romero.
Hi, Matt.
Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Holy mackerel. Yeah. Wow, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I can't believe I'm talking to you. This is amazing. You know, and Nick, thank you for putting me through.
Sure.
Mr. Romero.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of your work, and I grew up with your movies. I mean, you know, I too, Nick, you know, had the father that was, you know, had the foresight to let me see, you know, Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead when I was, you know, very young, and I just loved them so much just for the gore factor, and I mean, you are the godfather of gore. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, kiss your butt, you know, or anything. I don't know where you are. I mean, if my lips can reach from here to California, I guess, you know, I mean, that's where they go. But they're so fantastic, and you know, I saw the remake of Day of the Dead, and you know, frankly, it was good, but it just didn't have that. You know, I think they really try to play up the satire there. Like, the thing that I found funny about the Day of the Dead thing was...
Dawn of the Dead? You mean the remake?
The Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, I'm sorry. The remake was, you know, they shot it in Milwaukee, okay, but they were on top of this, they were on top of the mall there shooting, like, Jay Leno and
yeah,
it, like shooting the stars. I'm like, well, where's the shot? I mean, it just didn't. The continuity wasn't there. But anyway, but back to your movie, Mr. Romero. The social satire and the whole thing of, you know, these people are zombies and they're going back to the mall because right. they feel at home. And I don't know, was that an intention or, I mean, was that something you meant to do or was it, I mean, or was it just something that was just so obvious it just didn't need to be stated?
I think both of those are true. It's in the script. There's even dialogue where they say, well, this is a place where they were happy, you know, or comfortable
right.
or whatever. And so that's definitely there. So to that extent, it was intentional. And then the people that played the zombies, I mean, if you go to that mall today, they're still there. You
know? What city was that in?
Huh?
That was Pittsburgh, yeah.
That was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Matt, the other thing that was written here on the screen is that you wanted to ask George what he thinks of, like, CGI gore?
Yeah. You know, because, you know, I mean, when I was, again, you know, when I was a kid, I used to read, like, you know, horror magazines.
Fangor magazine.
Thank you. I'm sorry. It's been a long time.
That's
you know,
right.
I apologize. But, you know, and you would read, like, you know, like when Return of the Living Dead came out, which I know, you know, you didn't do, right? Did you have
no.
any part of that?
No.
That was Dan O'Bannon.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You know, I mean, and that was, you know, that was a great gore movie, too. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're all ripping off you, of course, you know. And but, you know, I was just reading about, you know, how they set up the, you know, how they set up the, you know, the robotics of the, you know, and this and that.
Right.
And nowadays, you know, they have CGI where, like, you know, in some movies, you know, they can show people, you know, having this and that happen. It's just, you know, people, you know, are on computer screens doing this and that. And I mean, what do you think? I mean, did you have it tougher? Is it, I think there's more there's more texture and there's more reality to it. Just having it done, you know, with, you know, plastics and latex and,
yeah.
you know, and, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, George.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, and the new film, we're most of it, 98% of it is going to be that. There are a couple of places where I need to use some CG, but it's not going to be the star,
yeah.
you know.
Is Savini doing the effects?
No. Greg Nicotero can be, those guys. Mm-hmm. I think Tom, I haven't spoken to him. I'm going to see him next week, but I want him to act in it. I'd like him to play one of the roles.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, actually.
Yeah, he is. I love that guy. Hey, Matt, man, thanks. I got a
yeah,
bunch
no,
of people.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Matt.
See you later.
Bye. See ya.
All right. Matt's a big fan.
Hey.
You know, so the thing about Dawn of the Dead that they didn't, have you bothered to see the remake?
I did, yeah.
And what's your opinion of it?
You know, it was better than I thought it was going to be, but it was just an action film. I thought that it sort of lost its reason for being. The satire was gone.
Yeah.
When we shot the first one, those indoor shopping palaces were new.
Yeah.
You know, it was a new phenomenon, and it was worthy of satire. And, you know, I think there was a lot more commentary, and I don't think there was any commentary in this. But I thought it was a really good action film. I also have to say that I don't think dead people should move fast.
I got to tell you something, George. I'm with you. People are always telling, and I got a friend who's like, yeah, man, I like the whole 28 Days Later. I like the new fast zombie. I'm like, no.
No, well, 28 Days, they're not dead, right? They're infected.
They're right, exactly. I have a friend of mine who was just so, thick-headed about it. I was trying to say, look, the things in 28 Days Later are not zombies. They're people who are infected with a virus.
Right.
A zombie dies and comes back to life.
Right, and he has a hard time getting his motor coordination back.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I'm in a theater company here in Chicago, George, called the Factory Theater. We did a play about a year and a half ago called Among the Dead.
Uh-huh.
And it was written and directed by a guy named Ryan Oliver, who now lives out in L.A. and he does special effects work. He moved out there, and he's a guy who has the spray gun of blood and shoots it all over the set and stuff. You know what I mean? He's that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He's on the assembly line making noses and stuff. You know. Mm-hmm. So he wrote and directed this show, and I got to be in it, and it was complete a love letter to your movies.
Oh man. All
and,
right.
Yeah, I played like an insane militia guy with a bad Fu Manchu mustache and a chainsaw, and I got to chop zombies up, and He did the effects, and it was really a huge hit for us, and we got so many of your fans out to see this show.
Wow, how do you do those effects on stage?
The makeup effects were fabulous. We had like 30 zombies in the show, and it was a very small space, like 60 seats.
Uh-huh.
So 30 zombies seems like a lot when you're right on top of the action.
Yeah, it's half the audience.
Yeah, we had different zombies who died in different ways. So, for instance, one guy caught a line drive ball in his head, like a baseball. So we had a half a baseball sticking out of a guy's head, and there was blood all over it and everything. And
you did this live.
We did, yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy, that deserves a medal.
It was fabulous, but the true inspiration, without question, was your movie.
No.
And Ryan had everybody go through all the extras go through a zombie class.
You're kidding. No. What do you learn in a zombie class?
To not know what your motor functions are and things like that. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And we had a little zombie kid in the show. She was about 5. It was great.
Oh, man.
It was just great.
Well, I find that if I have, there have been times when I've had, like 100 people in front of me made up as zombies and you're supposed to direct.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, walk like this, if you raise your hands a certain way, everybody does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So generally what I say is, hey, how do you think a dead person would behave? Just do that. And, let them, let them invent their own shtick.
Yeah, So that's your direction. How do you think a dead person would walk?
That's it. What are you going to say? If you try to show them, and then all of a sudden you have everybody walking like Frankenstein.
Exactly. And
you don't want that,
Yeah. So anyway, it was a blast. We did it, and it was a big hit, and we should probably cut you a check.
No. That's great. I just wish I could have seen it.
Yeah, well, we have a videotape floating around somewhere, George. Maybe I'll send it to you.
Okay.
So anyway, but hey, okay, we got other people who are on the line, and here is Brad. Hey, Brad.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, Brad.
Okay, I got to switch off speaker here, sorry.
All right.
Okay.
Hiya. Very entertaining. Really, this kills me. Have you seen the Dawn of the Dead page that this one guy has? It's Dawn of the – I'm trying to bring it up right now.
It's a Dawn of the Dead page? I'm sure there's 1,000.
Oh, yeah. This is Dawn of the – homepageofthedead.com. It's excellent.
Homepageofthedead.com.
Yeah, you have to go there.
Have you seen that one, George?
Yes, I have. That's really good.
I love the one about the nurse. He has a whole page about the nurse who overacts, the zombie nurse.
Yeah. She's going to be at the convention.
She's going to be there. Yeah. Sharon Cicati. She's going to be over.
Hey, listen, George.
Yeah.
David Emge?
Yes.
When's the last time you talked to him?
Not for a while.
Like years?
Yes.
Yeah, did you know he was in Building 7?
No.
Yes, he is the last I heard. Worked as a Port Authority guy.
He was kidding.
In the building when it collapsed. He got out.
Oh.
Yeah, he got out. But I lived with him one summer.
Did you?
Before he was a movie star, and he used to always talk about how George Romero was one of his childhood friends. Is that correct?
I knew him for years, childhood.
But he said he knew you from a long time.
Well, he's in Dawn of the Dead. Right?
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
he's
come on.
That's why I'm mentioning it. Yeah.
He's flat boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you know he's in one of the Argento movies?
I didn't know that either. You're kidding me.
It's on this Dawn of the Dead page. Yeah.
Is that wait a minute?
I didn't
is
know
this
that
for
either.
Real? Because I know Dario really well, but what movie?
What movie? What movie did he do? That
can you wait just a second?
There, hold on a second. I can.
Probably the one he shot a couple of films here. He
it's
shot.
Like a
I mean, in the U.S.
movie, I think.
Was he in Two Evil Eyes?
No.
No.
There's a 1985 one. I'm looking through. I've got it up here.
Nick knows about Two Evil Eyes. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, please.
This is a fan.
Yeah.
I think 9 people saw that movie, and he's one of them.
Yeah. According to this, I'm looking now and I don't see anything.
Okay, hang on. You know what?
He's in Basket Case 2.
Yes, that's true.
He's in Hellmaster.
Yeah,
I didn't know that he did anything with Dario. Maybe when Dario came in,
you know what it is? I'm sorry. He's in a documentary about Dario Argento. It's the Dario Argento's World of Horror.
World of Horror.
Yeah,
that's
it's a documentary about Dario.
That's the one they played on digital cable.
Yeah, that's the one that because George worked with Dario on Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Listen,
and
Two Evil
Eyes.
I have my story about Night of the Living Dead. I was a freshman in college, and we went to, speaking of drive-ins, I've been to that drive-in a million times that you went to, Nick, the Palwaukee.
The Twin, yeah.
The one up by Palwaukee, yeah. I went, we used to always go to the one on 72 and and Elmhurst.
Right.
We went there. I was a freshman in college. Nine of us in a 66 Volkswagen, 66 Mustang. Uh-huh. We had a couple of bottles of booze that we stole from our parents. And the bill was, first movie was Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Oh,
yes, yes. And we thought it was going to be, you know, two funny horror movies. And yeah. Night of the Living Dead, it just came out, so we had no clue. So we laughed and drank through the first one, and we were that, and we've done this for 30 years now. Prisoners are escaping.
Yeah.
We still do that from Doctor Who, you know. So anyway, the Night of the Living Dead comes on, and we're thinking, this is kind of creepy, you know. They're in the cemetery, and the brother and the sister, and he's making fun of the sister.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, you made the movie, duh. but we're all in his car, and there's nine of us, and we're going, what's going on? This is
wait a minute,
funny
there's nine
so
of you in a car?
Yeah, in a Mustang, George. And they're drinking.
Yes.
Yeah. These are my listeners, George. I just want to let you know. These are the kind of people you're going to meet next week.
Okay, great. I'm looking
really,
forward
I'll
to
be
it.
There. I was a Ute.
A Ute. But, hey, yeah, go ahead real quick, Brad. I got a lot of people I want to
I
get
know,
to.
But I want to stay on all night. But seriously, we were like stunned. After about, I don't know, the first 10 minutes, nobody made a sound, except for when they started doing the really gross stuff. Because this is 1968, and this had never been done.
Yeah.
You know, the gut scene when he starts pulling on the entrails and stuff?
Yeah.
We're like, one guy did and eventually stick his head out that tiny little
there you
window.
Go.
Yeah.
Get some air.
Yeah, so I know you want to get rid of me. But
I got other people,
Brad. I understand. This is the best, and George, you've been very cool, and I owe it to you that I actually lived with a movie star.
There you go.
Wow.
What could be
there
better?
You go. Hey, Brad.
Right. Take care, man.
Listen,
so
thanks for the words.
All
thank
right.
you.
See you later.
Bye.
You know, the thing about that everybody talks about Night of the Living Dead, the original, you know, is that, you know, a couple of sequences that are pretty gross. But was it, I think that film, to me, one of the reasons why people thought it was so shocking was just, it goes beyond like the gore. I mean, for me, there were so many taboos broken in that film.
Yeah, well, the little girl, the family unit collapsing, and the fact that the lead actor is African American, and you know, which was accidental. I mean, Dwayne was the best actor from among our friends.
Yeah.
And so
it wasn't like a statement. It just happened. You so happened to cast the African American guy as your lead.
That was not a statement. Yeah. And you know, I guess that if we deserve any credit, we didn't change the script. But you know, now I look back on it and I think maybe we should have. You know, maybe we missed a bet there. Maybe we should have opened that door a little bit. And, you know, made a little more of it.
Well, inadvertently it did. But eventually, though, but that became sort of a pattern in your films. You
it
have,
did,
you know,
yeah.
like the heroes are women, minorities, and drunks. You know?
Well, that's, you're talking about me over here. The little Spanish kid that grew up that got beat up by all the Italian guys in the Bronx.
Yeah.
That's you, right? That's your guy.
That's me, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Okay, let's talk to Frank. Frank?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Pretty good. Listen, Mr. Romero, it's such an honor to speak with you.
Oh, well, listen, thank you. I'm flattered to be here.
I really appreciate it. And I'm in the horror business myself. I work at a haunted house. It's called Dungeon of Doom. And we have a large screen in the lobby. We always show clips of all of the Dead movies, and people just get such a kick out of it. And I know you guys were talking about your favorite scenes, and it's kind of ironic that one of my favorite scenes in Day of the Dead, and I actually met Tom Savini at the horror convention this past March, I believe it was. We actually bought some props from him. Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's really a neat guy.
Yeah, he sure is. He's a funny guy, too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes was when one of the military guys was in the big pit with all the zombies, and they pulled his head from his body, and his larynx came apart, and his voice just shot up the pitch of his voice.
Went high pitch.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, I just laugh.
Yeah. I
know it's kind of gross, but anyways, I'll make this quick. My question to you, sir, is what is your inspiration? What drives you to make these movies?
You know, I grew up on the old EC comic books and, you know, the gore stuff. And, you know, that's the stuff that we all giggled at. I mean, those of us that dug it, you know. I mean, that's what we were into. And But you know, I think what really drives me to do the zombie films is to try to reflect a little bit of what's going on in society. I mean, the movies are, they're basically horror films, and they're fun, and it's a fun ride. But, you know, I'm also trying to express some of my opinions about what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, unfortunately, what happens with a lot of horror things is, you know, it's a guy with a mask and a knife, and there's no sort of, you know, social satire or anything going on underneath. And at least what I've tried to do, at least with the zombie films that I've done, is you know, make them comments about a little bit about society.
I think you do that with all your work, George. I think it's evident in all your work. You know, I think Knight Riders is a fabulous film and a really great commentary. I think Monkey Shines is as well. All of your stuff. And my God, Bruiser. We haven't even mentioned Bruiser. That is a fantastic film.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah, I love it, man.
I like it a lot. And, you know, people just didn't get it. Or
God,
at least
it was so great.
The distributors didn't get it.
Yeah,
you know,
clearly. Hey, Frank, thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Frank, thank you.
Yeah, Bruiser, which is a film that you can get on DVD.
Yeah.
And they played it here in Chicago at the Art Institute.
Yes, yeah.
And I saw it then, and I thought it was fabulous, man. And it was just great. And it was your first film in like 6 years or something.
Yeah.
And it was so great to see it. And then it, you know, I don't know. I think if you haven't seen Bruiser, if you haven't seen it, folks, you need to buy it or rent it because it's a terrific film.
Well, thank you for that plug.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great. I really liked that film a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it was a strange thing. It was a French company financed the film, and, you know, when you could get the executives on the phone. And then as we were shooting, there was a merger. They merged with Vivendi, and then Universal bought them, and then all of a sudden those guys weren't there on the other end of the line anymore.
That's so aggravating.
Yeah, and, you know, nobody got it. Yeah. But it really was one from the heart, and I'm glad it's there, and I like it a lot.
You should be proud of it. It's great. It's great work.
Well, thank
great
you.
Work. So some of the folks who were in Dawn and Day are going to be at this thing as well.
Yes, they are. Yeah, Gary Klar, and I think Tim DeLeo, Laurie Cardell, there's going to be a bunch of folks over there.
Yeah, so it should be so much fun.
Well, it's going to be a great reunion for me. I mean, many of them live in Pittsburgh, so I see Laurie once in a while, I see Tim once in a while, but Gary and David Emge and people like that, I don't get to see very often.
And Joe Pilato is going to be around there.
Joe, yeah, I did see Joe a few weeks ago. We did a commentary track on John Harrison, the guy that composed the music that you've been playing for Day of the Dead, is now a director and writer-director of some note on his own. He did the remake of Dune for the sci-fi
channel. Oh, excellent.
And, and way back when, they made a little movie called Effects, which is coming out on DVD, and Joe was in that. And so we did the commentary track, and I got to hang out with Joe a little bit.
That's
but I'm,
cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing him again in Chicago.
Well, he certainly has the most memorable death scene in Day of the Dead.
Yeah, he certainly does. Oh, the poor guy.
Yeah, because weren't those real guts?
They were real guts, and they were old.
They were like, and they were real, were they pig guts?
Huh?
They were pig guts, or?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
But they were
I didn't get close enough to ask. Poor Joe had to sit there with them. He had his legs. What Tom did, Joe's legs were under the floor. They put a hole in the floor.
Yeah.
So that the bottom half of, you know, his legs and the bottom half of his body were down underneath the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able. And Tom did a makeup to, you know, so that his torso had been torn apart, and the zombies were pulling these guts out of it.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it was the rankest smell. I mean, it was just awful.
So
worse than the cockroach.
He earned his paycheck that day.
He earned his paycheck.
Yeah, that's
great. Joseph, he's really a great guy. Anybody that comes out to Flashback Weekend and meets Joe, it's worth the price of admission. He's a gas. Just a really funny cat.
That's great. That's cool. We're going to have a blast. All right, two more quick calls, George, and I promise I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right, here's Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
Mr. Romero,
How are you?
You were talking about Dwayne Jones.
Yeah.
He was my acting teacher in college.
You're kidding.
At State University of New York at Old Westbury.
Oh, man.
And he made me into the actor I am today, which is a pretty good one, by the way.
If you do say so yourself, Joe.
If I do say so myself. But I have his photograph in the graduation uniform.
Oh, boy.
On my refrigerator. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, that's great.
And I really mourn his passing about 12 years ago.
Yeah. Well, he was just a wonderful man. You know, I mean, he was just the sweetest guy. And
Lee,
really,
by the way, we're talking about the lead in Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Dedicated, wonderful guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great, man. He was great. So he was a good teacher then, huh, Joe?
He was excellent. He was really, really smart and a very good actor himself.
Yeah.
Had done a theater show there while we were there, too.
Awesome.
And he really was able to pinpoint psychologically your vulnerabilities and help you to use them mm-hmm. to your best artistic purpose.
Wow.
And I remember him saying that, I think it was Rex Reed, you were talking about some of the social firsts that happened in your movies, that he was a black man slapping a white woman.
You know what? Dwayne was always disturbed about that. I mean, that one scene, when I wrote the script, Jack Russo and I wrote the script together, but it was based on a story of mine, and what happened is I wrote half the script and we started to shoot, and so Jack and I collaborated on the rest of it, but I wrote that scene. And I never described the character as African American. You know, I mean, it was just
it was
Guy Ben.
And this was 1968, was it?
Yeah, 1968. And that was the only time when it came to doing that scene. He said, "People are going to hate me for this." And I said, "No, man. I mean, you know, it's like she's flipped. You know, and you're just trying to
help her, trying to snap her out of it,
straighten her out."
Yeah.
And he was very, very upset by that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he would. That he would carry that and mention it to you.
Yeah. That was something that I remember him talking about.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks. No, thanks for calling.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Okay. So that's two guys from your films that have taught people who listen to my show to act. Isn't that amazing? All right. Here's the last one. Here's another Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
George, it is absolutely phenomenal to talk to you. Big fan.
Well, thank you.
The question that I had for you, I'll keep this as quick as I can, was you go back to the films that involve zombies previous to the original Night.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know, some basic makeup, and they just kind of stagger around with their hands outreached, very much like Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
Post-Night, and particularly post-Dawn, the makeup seems to have stepped up, and you got to figure every major film market in the world has produced a zombie film of some sort or another.
Yeah.
And I would think that a lot of that, particularly the stepping up of the makeup and the stepping up of the level of gore, would be a direct result of your films. What are your thoughts on that? Kind of having between you and Tom Savini, I know he did the effects in Dawn and Day, kind of being responsible for that upsurge in the amount of gore that spilled.
Well, you know, I've made 15 movies, and the three zombie films, I guess, are the bloodiest. I have a conceit, you know, I sort of think of the gore scenes, not to relate it directly, but if you know, in the original movie version of MASH, the theatrical version of MASH, mm-hmm. that, you know, you were laughing your head off, and then all of a sudden there were these scenes in the operating room where blood was squirting and,
right.
you know, all of a sudden it made you cringe, and it sort of was an eye-opener, and I guess that's really what I'm trying to do that in those films, and it's really only in the zombie films that I really went all out for the Grand Guignol,
Of course.
And so I don't know. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I think what happens with some people that do it or imitate it or whatever, they just do it for the sake of doing it. You
right,
know?
Particularly and, Lucio Fulci. I don't know if you've seen any of his
films, yeah.
but my goodness.
Yeah. There's a scene in his film Zombie.
Right.
The eyeball. Right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'll turn loose your lunch.
Yeah, George, I'm sure you've seen that effect.
Yes,
the piece of wood, the girl's head slowly being lowered onto it. I'm telling you, that just was like, ugh. But like again, you know, like not to, because I think Fulci films, I grew up watching them when I was like 15, 16 years old. I thought they were cool and everything, but there was like no depth to them. You know what I mean? It was all about the gore and the effects and all that stuff. But like your films, there's a reason why you had that much gore, and there was a commentary there.
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, yeah. I'm hoping that people sort of understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's not just for the sake of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are characters, there are people that you care about, and, you know, there's other stuff going on if
that's
you want to think about it a little bit.
Something that sadly lacks in most horror films, I've noticed.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, thanks, man.
Thanks,
George. Hopefully we'll see you next
Joe,
week.
Thank you.
Can't wait
thanks.
For the next one. Nick, thanks for letting me on.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
For calling.
George, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it's been talking to you.
Well, it's really been fun, man. It's been terrific.
Yeah,
so.
I just think you're great. And I just, you know, like Dawn of the Dead, everybody mentions, like, we were just talking about the Dead trilogy, but the stuff that's in Day of the Dead, a lot of people don't remember or will remember when they see the film. There's a lot of dialogue in Day of the Dead.
Yes,
and,
there
and,
is.
but really interesting dialogue and really, you know, interesting dialogue. And the whole concept of Bub is fascinating, and the whole military aspect of it and the claustrophobic aspect of it is just in the behavior of the characters in that situation. There's a lot of depth to it. It's not just people getting their heads ripped off.
Yeah, well, thank you for noticing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the section that I find most fascinating in Dawn of the Dead is when they finally get everything they need and they're not happy until the zombies come back.
Right.
It
yeah.
seems like, oh, I'm happy, now I can blow some heads off.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, to me, it's great stuff, man. And,
well, that was the idea, you know. I mean, hey, man, we got everything we want, except it's really not what you want.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just stuff.
Yeah, that's to me is what's I mean, I've always, you know, like I've been reviewing movies here at this radio station for about 19 years now, and I've often referred to you as one of the best American satirists working today, and I absolutely believe it.
Well, thank you again. That's very nice.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it.
Cool.
And I look forward to, you know, maybe we can hopefully meet over there and you know, hang out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna be up there the whole weekend, George. I definitely we'll definitely hook up. George, I'm looking forward to meeting you next week.
Me too.
Okay, hang on a second. That's George Romero. What a pleasure that was. And check out his website, georgearomero.com, R-O-M-E-R-O, georgearomero.com, a very cool website. That's his official website, georgearomero.com.